Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then down to verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your plan that's approaching us in the near future. We thank you as you unfold your word and confirm the accuracy of the prophecies that are taking place before our very eyes. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to look into your word and to see how you've done things in the past and how you're going to continue to accomplish your will on earth here in the future. We pray this morning as we look at this topic of passing the torch, which occurs here in Revelation 7, that you would open our eyes, give us your wisdom by your Spirit. Fill me, Lord, that I might be used of thee. In Jesus' name I pray, for his sake. Amen. After these things, it says here in verse 1 of Revelation 7, then again down in verse 9, it says, after this, which in reality is an underlining phrase, which shows that there are two major events here, and they are a pause between the opening of the sixth seal, which just occurred, Revelation 6, 12 through 17, a pause between the opening of the sixth seal and the seventh seal, which gets opened in chapter 8. Now, when that seventh seal is opened, then, in fact, God's wrath comes upon earth, because the contents of the scroll, which is within the seven seals, after they're opened, the scroll can be unfurled, and the contents of it, which is the day of the Lord, will proceed. God's wrath upon the earth occurs after the opening of the seventh seal. But before God's wrath comes, these two major events occur, which I've been calling the passing of the torch. Because what happens here is God sends his angels to judge the earth, but before that judgment begins, before they hurt the earth and the sea and the trees, before that occurs, he sends another angel that comes with the seal of the living God. And then that angel delays the four angels' judgment from coming, and instead of that, they looks like they take part in sealing the 144,000 that are called out then in verses 4 through 8 from the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So that's number one. And then secondly, the great multitude is seen in heaven, which shows that the rapture has occurred and the saints of the ages stand before the God of heaven. And that occurs after the great tribulation is cut short, Matthew 24, 21. And it says in verse 14 of Revelation 7, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the rapture occurs. This great multitude, which no man could number, stands before the throne from every tribe, from every tribe, every nation, from all different kinds of people, all the tongues upon earth, everybody from any known people group is represented in this great multitude that stands before the throne. So the 144,000 are sealed. They are protected according to Revelation 9, verse 4, in the midst of God's wrath. However, the saints of the ages, the saints from the church age, from the age of grace, and those that God raises up out of the graves will stand before him prior to his wrath, which is a fulfillment of his promise in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. We are not appointed unto wrath, but we shall receive deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the rapture. So the promise is fulfilled. The saints are standing before the throne, and the 144,000 are sealed in order to carry the torch, in order to have them be that priests unto God during the day of the Lord. They'll carry the gospel message, the witness of Jesus Christ, as they win souls for Jesus throughout the time of judgment. They're seen upon the earth. They're also seen with the Lamb in Revelation 14:1 on Mount Zion. And then in Revelation 17, verse 14, they are seen once again as they go to war with the Lamb against the 10 kings at the Battle of Armageddon. And so these 144,000 are the focus of our message here today as we look at the third section of the passing of the torch, and as we understand that these men, in fact, have prototypes in the Old Testament. There are parallels and prototypes, and there's also specific scripture describing them as priests in the Old Testament. Psalm 110, verse 3, shows them that the people that gather and are willing in that day, that future day of power of the Lord Jesus' power, which is the day of the Lord, these people are willing. They are dressed in priest's garments, and they're called young men in that verse. They are as the dew, a refreshing, a great multitude of refreshment to the earth upon those whom God calls. So the Lord has given us prototypes and parallels in the Old Testament. He's also shown that Daniel the prophet and his three companions have some direct parallels. Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and we can more clearly understand the circumstances and characteristics of the 144,000 through these four young men who were taken into Babylon under the authority of a ruthless king 600 years before Christ. The king's name was Nebuchadnezzar. He is a type of the Antichrist. His parallels can be seen within the historic section of Daniel. That's Daniel 1 through 6. He made an image. He demanded that all people of the known world should fall down and worship this image, Daniel 3. It's one of the most striking parallels Nebuchadnezzar demonstrates. You don't fall down, you die. This action by Nebuchadnezzar shows that he is, in fact, a type of the Antichrist. The prophesied end-time demand for universal worship will occur according to Revelation chapter 13. He also will rule the world, the Antichrist, and seek to force all who worship his image. And that's it, like I mentioned, in Revelation 13, 1 through 8. Daniel and his three companions, according to Daniel chapter 1, where the word eunuch is used to describe the man who was over them, the prince of the eunuchs, Daniel and his three companions were made eunuchs in order to serve in the palace of the king. Their duties included dealing with and being in the presence of the king's wives and women. It was a prevailing custom for these men to be emasculated in order for them to effectively serve royalty. a custom which continued through New Testament times. Acts 27, where the following verses there show the Ethiopian eunuch. The resulting effect on them is similar to the 144,000 who will be called out of every tribe, Revelation 14:4, to serve the King of Kings. They are servants of God. And it says there in Revelation 14:4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These men, who will be protected by the Lord during the day of the Lord, will be similar to eunuchs. Although not physically emasculated, they will keep themselves physically pure, giving their full devotion to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord taught a threefold source of becoming a eunuch in Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. And there he said, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." Therefore, according to the Lord's teaching, a man can become a eunuch naturally born, man-made, and self-made. The 144,000 are described as men who were not defiled with women, indicating their physical purity, belying their choice to fully follow the Lamb wherever he goes, Revelation 14:4. This personal choice demonstrates their complete surrender in all things in order to give every area of their lives for the maximum service and glory of the Lord Jesus. This is also a fitting description of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These young men may well have recognized early on the call of God in their lives. The prophecy which Isaiah pronounced to their great-grandfather Hezekiah, king of Judah, could have been known by them, for they themselves were of the king's seed. Daniel 1, verse 3. Isaiah's words, spoken to Hezekiah over a century and a half earlier, are clear and unmistakable. Isaiah said, "Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." 2 Kings 20, verse 17 and 18. These four young men of royalty, who likely had access to the scriptures, may have known ahead of time some of what God was going to do with them as the king of Babylon closed in on the city of Jerusalem. He eventually took them captive and enlisted them in his own service, as recorded in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Their lives and impeccable service to God, recorded in the book of Daniel, certainly have infinite value for those who follow their pattern of service to the Lord. There are at least 8 similarities or parallels between Daniel and his 3 companions and the 144,000. Number 1, they are sons of Israel, Revelation 7:3, Daniel 2:25. Number 2, they are called servants of God, Revelation 7:3, Daniel 3, verse 26. Number 3, they refuse to be defiled, Revelation 14:4, Daniel 1:8. Number 5, they refuse to worship an idolatrous image under the threat of death, Revelation 13, Daniel 3. They are without fault, Revelation 14:5, Daniel 6, verse 4. They are seen with the Lord, Revelation 14:1, Daniel 3:26, and 6:22. They are supernaturally protected by the Lord, Revelation 7:3, and 9, verse 4, and Daniel 3:23-28, Daniel 7:21, and 22. The Lord, being the unchangeable and faithful God that he is, will accomplish these same things in the lives of those he will choose to represent him during the time of the end. He will prepare this great company of servants of our God who will faithfully serve him during those tumultuous but exciting days ahead. Regardless of what theory is held concerning the timing of events of the end times, one thing we can rely upon, and that is the unchanging faithfulness of our God. He will most certainly call out and prepare that great company of 144,000 servants from the 12 tribes of Israel who will serve as priests unto God. Believer priests will continue into the day of the Lord. Number one, they will be the first fruits of those Jews who are redeemed during the 70th week of Daniel. The first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb, the first fruits of those that will come, the great multitude that will come when God redeems Israel, according to Romans 11, verse 25 and 26. Number two, they will serve the Lord during the great tribulation, Daniel 11, 32 to 35, Daniel 12, 3 and 10, and Revelation 12, verse 17. Number three, they will serve the Lord during the day of the Lord's wrath, which is shown in Revelation 9, 4, where they're protected. Revelation 14, 1 through 5, which is after the day of the Lord begins, is at the end of the 70th week. And Revelation 17, 14, which goes right up to the end of the day of the Lord, they are with the Lord in the battle of Armageddon against the 10 kings and the kings of the earth that the Antichrist brings together at Armageddon. These 144,000 who are called out have Old Testament history and have Old Testament passages describing them as priests, and they will serve the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the torch from those of the church in that day when the rapture occurs. And as we look forward to the future and their calling out and their service and their training, Lord, we pray that you would use us in this generation to bring to pass your will here in the church, that Jesus might be exalted. And Lord, we look forward to his coming, that we might be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.